Well, right now you have two questions that are on your mind. I'm not the prophet or the son of a prophet, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say, question number one is, what did Bettina tell Clarence? She wanted to know if I got the same text that she got, and I did, that Joe opened his eyes at, well, I got the text at 11:18. I'm not sure when he opened them, but the main point is he opened them. So that's good news. And the next question you had, was I right about that one?
Yep.
Okay. Boy, I sure hope I'm wrong on this one. How long is he going to preach? Does he know what time it is? Am I two for two? Well, I felt like after that last hymn, I could just get up and say, let's pray, you know. Did somebody say amen? Who said amen? Who said it? God in heaven, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. All right, let's get right to the point, since you know my fear about preaching for 10 minutes, don't you? Is that you'll know I can do it. You'll come to expect it. If you have your Bible, turn to Esther chapter 4. And we're going to look at, it only takes one to make a difference. Let me boil down. I was actually at one point pulled out my notes. I don't usually have a manuscript, even though I do that, but I just kind of make a detailed outline sometimes. Sometimes I don't. And I started kind of drawing lines through stuff, you know. You're going to have to leave this out, this out, this out, this out, this out, this out. Here's the conclusion. All right, so think about history. History is full of accounts of one single individual who has made a difference. This difference could be, think about this, this one individual can make a difference for either good or for evil. The majority of evil is not from a group of people. Now, we may see a group of people that do evil, but it was instigated or led by the decision of one individual. And you think throughout history, without naming them, but just to give one name that we all probably think about is Hitler, and the other one would be Saddam Hussein or Bin Laden. Those are two people that, you know, recently have made an impact in a negative way. What we typically don't think about is the impact that somebody can make, and when they make a decision to do something or sometimes not to do something, evil prevails. But on the flip side, it only takes one to make a difference for good. In my review and study of history, I don't see great movements in history that are begun by a group or groups or even nations, but by one individual, one tremendous evil dictator. But when I read God's Word, here's what I discover. I discover that the Scriptures are full of an individual at an appointed place and time making a decision to do what is right that changes the course of history from our perspective, that impacts the globally the cause for good, the cause for God. Think about that. You are one individual. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are unique in a good sense. We just heard two moms. And in case you're thinking, oh, I wonder why the dads didn't do it. I don't know. But here's what I will say. Mothers, not that dads don't, but mothers, they are given instinctively, I think, because of carrying a child in the womb for 9 months or so. They have a unique understanding of their kids. Not that dads don't misunderstand me, but you know, even with Deborah and I's one and only child, Will and I have a great relationship, and he and Deborah have a great relationship, but there are some things that are just very special and dynamic between Will and Deborah, because you know, I can't replace her. I didn't carry him, you know. It's just a unique bond there. And we saw them share about their two children, Dylan and Taylor, the uniqueness of their personality and character. And we all have that. We all have a uniqueness to our personality and character. And be thankful that you have that, because there is going to be, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It kind of reminds me of purchasing a motorcycle. It's not a matter of if it's going to hurt you. It's a matter of when it's going to hurt you. Harley Davidson's probably not going to like that statement, but you know what I mean. I mean, it's a matter of when you're going to have an opportunity to make a decision that's going to impact your circle of influence, your small family group, your church, or whomever, or whatever, by doing what's right. And when I read God's Word, more often than not, I find an individual man or woman who makes a decision that makes a difference. And the Scripture is full on both sides of the coin, for good or for evil, making a difference. Making a difference. I've said before, my theological speculation is about the Abrahamic covenant. I wonder how many people said no before Abraham said yes. May get to heaven and we find out nobody said no. God called Abraham and Abraham responded. But I wouldn't be surprised if we hear about, well, you know, it could have become the whatever covenant if this person that I called had responded by faith as Abraham did. The reason we know about Abraham and the birth of the nation is because of the decision that Abraham made to follow God. The reason that we know about King David is when nobody else in Israel, especially those that were of Israel's army, when Goliath would come on a daily basis and taunt the armies of the living God and God's chosen people, nobody would stand in the gap. And David said, as a little runt, tending sheep, said, where is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? God has delivered me from the hand of the bear and the hand of the lion. Where is he? I will go and fight him. Just takes one. It also only takes one in a church or one in a community to make a difference, positively or negatively. It only takes one to disrupt the unity of a church. It only takes one to start spreading gossip and rumors and planting evil seed, even though they may not realize it, but that they're being used by Satan to begin to cause a crack that begins to fester and expand. Before long, a good solid church is brought to its knees, and that's what Satan wants to do. It only takes one to do that. Sometimes it only takes one word from one individual to cause that. And it only takes one to stand in the gap and say, no, thus saith the Lord, this is what we're going to do to make a difference in the other direction, to preserve unity, to have a strong, healthy, biblical, spiritual church that's life-changing and doing what's right, regardless of how other churches are going. Well, such a person is Esther. And in Esther chapter 4, at the beginning, we find that where Mordecai would not bow down, despite what the reasons may be, that Haman decides one person, Haman, on this side of the coin, on the evil side, decides because of the hatred and the one single act of Mordecai not to bow down. And I believe he didn't bow down to Haman, not because he was following the law that no one should bow down and because he was a Jew, but because he was upset that he got overlooked for letting the king know that there was a plot to kill him. And we learned that Ahasuerus didn't even realize he got overlooked until later when we get to chapter 6. But the act of Haman, by not doing what's right and not having the pure heart and pure motives, in my understanding of his character at this point in the book, and the evil act of Haman, both collided. The one evil act by one individual, the two together collided to where Haman says and goes to the king, give me permission to kill all the Jews. Now that's putting yourself in a bind. And the word gets back to Mordecai as we continue in chapter 4. The word gets back to Mordecai. And he goes in verse 12 and gets this related. Hey, Esther, you're in a single place, and I'm still taking the position, even though I'm in the minority with even Old Testament scholars, I'm still taking the position that, Esther is in the position not because of her obedience and her love for the Lord, because she did a lot of things wrong in order to get there, but because of the providential, sovereign hand of God putting her there. Verse 12, they related Esther's words to Mordecai. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. So Mordecai gets the word of this decree to kill all of the Jews in the land, and that she needs to go to the king and plead her case. And Mordecai says, listen, tell Esther, don't think that she's going to escape getting killed also. She's a Jew. And when the king finds out, he's given a decree to kill all Jews, and his decree stands. And he's given Haman permission. Now the motive here, I believe, for Esther to go is survival. And God's going to take that and use it for good. Notice what he says in verse 14. For if you remain silent at this time, now I want you to underline this time. Let me tell you why I want you to underline it. Because this time is going to become a time on your clock one day. There's going to be a point in time in your life that's going to become this time where you're going to have to take a stand. Many of you may not realize it, and it's not important or necessary for you to realize it. But there was a point in time in this church where my time, this time came, and I had to take a stand. There will come a time where you will have to take a stand. And the stand that you take will mark the path of your life and the life of those that you impact because of the decision that you make. He says, for if you remain silent at this time, notice that your absence of doing something is wrong. You cannot be neutral when the time comes to take a stand. You cannot be what? Silent. You think that silence, you think not taking a stand is going to solve the problem? This is what he says to Esther. Relief and deliverance will rise up for the Jews from another place, and if you and your father's house will perish, and who knows whether you have attained royalty for such a time as this. That's an amazing verse. It's the verse that most people know, even if they don't know the book of Esther. What does that all mean? That means that if you fail to stand in the gap, if you fail to make a difference, God will raise somebody else up. But it won't help you. God will raise somebody. You know what? You know how I interpret that? You know what my application is to that? It's a privilege for me to serve God. God doesn't need me. It's a privilege for me to serve God. It's a privilege for you to serve God. God doesn't need not one single person in this place. When I left the last church that I was at, and I, you know, selfishly and pridefully and for all the wrong reasons, I hope it's not a true statement, but you know what? It's a true statement. One of my good pastor friends, I was having a conversation with him, and I said, man, I wonder what they're going to do after I leave. He said, they're going to keep going. That's what they're going to do. He said, get you a 5-gallon bucket of water and fill it up with water and stick your arm in there up to your elbow and remove it. He said, how long it takes for the water to replace where your arm is how long they're going to miss you. You know what? That's a true statement. God doesn't need any of us. And the moment that we think God needs us to accomplish His purpose, we're in trouble. If you don't rise to the occasion that God's put you in, He'll remove you and put somebody in your place. Isn't that amazing? God is in need of nothing. And the sooner that we realize that God is God and I am still not, the better off we'll be. Notice what he says in verse 15. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa, that's the southern palace, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, nights, or day. I and my maidens also will fast in the same way, and thus I will go into the king, which is not according to the law. In other words, she couldn't go unless she was called. Great relationship there, isn't it? And if I perish, in other words, she's saying, listen, there's the possibility that if I act upon this and I go in before the king without him calling me, he'll have me executed. And if I perish, I perish. To me, that's when Esther goes from being just living life for herself to living life for God. Nobody makes that statement without a change of heart or an understanding of who God is and who they are. She responds. And up until this point, I do not think she's living for God. That's my interpretation. You can have your own interpretation, and that's fine. But that's mine. So Mordecai went away and did just as Esther had commanded him. And she goes before the king, and we'll find out what takes place next week. Here's what you need to learn from this morning. Even though we didn't go through all of it in detail, you get the gist of it. Every single decision that you make is important. And there's going to become a point in time in your life, and I think it's going to happen over and over and over, where you're going to be faced with a decision that you're going to make. It's going to be this time. And there may come a time in your life where you have to make a decision, and it might cost you the ultimate sacrifice. But if I perish, I perish. That's, to me, that's just an amazing little section right there with a powerful impact. You, as an individual, even though you may not think you are significant, you are. Don't try to be the next so-and-so. Just be you and faithfully serve God and leave all the results up to Him. And listen, not one thing escapes His notice. I remember hearing at Moody Pastors Conference one time up in Chicago at Moody Bible Church, church named after D.L. Moody. I remember hearing Adrian Rogers, and I remember thinking, if I could just have Adrian Rogers' voice. And he made this statement that I've shared with you before, and I never forgot it, because with all of the theological knowledge and training and how well God has allowed me to hopefully have a handle on Scripture, when he said this, it was like somebody took a rivet of spiritual truth and riveted it right into my being. He said, "Do you not realize that not a blade of grass moves on the face of the earth without God knowing it and allowing it?" Our Father, we're grateful for who you are, and for all that you have done and accomplished for us. And I pray, Father, this morning that we will all make a difference as we faithfully serve you and make good choices. We ask all these things in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. Mike, if it's okay, just for the sake of time, I'm just going to do the benediction from right here. You have done a wonderful job, you and the choir, and... am I messing up by doing this? Oh. Oh. I just saw your facial expression to her, and I went, oh, they've got some song they're dying to play, and I just messed it all up. So. When? Today? Well, Dylan, get yourself up here. Hey, is this like the when we all walk out and stuff you're playing? Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know whether you had a special piece you were going to play prior to that. Okay. So, Dylan, you have been pointed for such a time as this. So, let's all stand together for the benediction. Now, to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you before His presence, blameless and without fault, be all glory, honor, praise, and power. And all of God's people said, amen. Take it away, Dylan.